Sangeeta, Meenal and Poonam are back with Crash Landed on K-Dramas with our season 3.
Yay!
We've had a good break, and when we were interacting with our listeners, we realized that they would like us to do deep dives on a few dramas. So the first episode, we are going to kick off with the most recent completed drama, highly popular, and which also left viewers very, very disheartened and polarized, is 25-21. So before we commence our discussion and try to cover off listener questions, we are going to give you a quick plot summary. 25-21 begins in 1998 in the backdrop of IMF crisis that hit Korea, with two central characters. 18-year-old Na-hee Do, played by Kim Tae-ri, who's an aspiring national-level fencer, and 22-year-old Baek-hee-jin, played by Nam Joo-hyuk, who is a son of a wealthy family that has gone bankrupt owing to the IMF crisis. The drama opens with present-day 2021. Hee-do's daughter, Min-chae, discovers her mother's teenage diary that details her experience in the four-year period, which revolves around her struggle to become a national-level fencer and become her idol Ko Yoo-rim's rival. Her gang of friends includes Ji-young, the cool guy but always at the bottom of the class, Seung-wan, the school topper and idealist, Yoo-rim, the top fencer in the country, and Ye-jin, who eventually becomes her first love. The entire drama is shown narrated from Na-hee Do's perspective, but also each of these characters go through their own arc. So before we head into the deep dive, can we tell our listeners what is it that struck a chord with us with 25-21? How did we get started with it?
I think for me, it was the trailers when we saw, it was clearly about two young people who seem to have a lot of energy and youthfulness about them. And when we were looking at the synopsis also, it was about this fencing star. So anything to do with sports and women generally tend to be very exciting, unless it's like really badly written. Generally, they don't fail. So that was my hooking point. Leading actors, both Nam Joo-hyuk and Kim Tae-ri, I've loved both their performances in Weightlifting Book Ju and Mr. Sunshine, respectively. So I think that is what kept me going. And like I said, trailers were super energetic.
So similar to Sangeeta, Kim Tae-ri, Nam Joo-hyuk, I was definitely watching. But for me also, the period that it was set in, 1998-2001, it excited me. I'm a big sucker for nostalgia. And I loved the trailers and going back to the days of Walkman and VHS rentals and book rentals library. Thing that caught my eye, of course, sport is a big factor, like Sangeeta said. So these were the main points for me. What about you, Poonam?
Because you nicely asked me to watch it while it was on air.
So for the listeners, Sangeeta and I do catch up on currently airing dramas. Poonam likes to binge, so she waits for us to give her opinions. But I was quite desperate to discuss, so I told her, Poonam, please, can you start watching 25-21 with us?
Yeah, I kind of joke, in the age of royals, they had people to taste the food before actually the kings and emperors actually tasted. It's like that. You guys saved me a ton of a time. You know, dramas, I have known Sangeeta has dropped after 5-6 episodes. Save me 5-6 episodes of watching them together. But you know what? I was planning to watch 25-21 anyway, because I love the trailers. They were actually two young looking people. I'm not interested in a high school drama, but the trailer did not show me that it was like that at all. Typically, high school drama are like these rich young kids acting like they know everything about life, or bullying, school bullying. I'm kind of tired of that and I don't want to watch that. And this was very different for that age. Very different. And of course, sports was an icing cake. So I had to watch it for sure. But when Meenal said, then I realized maybe I should, and I wasn't disappointed at all. I found the first few episodes superbly promising. I had no idea about nostalgia and all of those things, but I came away with a lot of things.
So do we go first into the main characters and who were our favorites, who were our least favorite, and discuss the traits that we liked or disliked?
Maybe we can begin with Na-hee Do after all, because all three of us really, really love her.
We adore her.
Totally. I mean, she sits right on top of my favorite K-drama lead. So much joy. I was re-watching some of the scenes yesterday. Every time Kim Tae-ri comes on screen, there is just so much joy and happiness watching her perform. And totally, that's what you want as a viewer.
She just lights up the screen. the moment she comes on screen, you just want to watch her. Forget about everything else and just want to watch her deliver her lines, do her thing and go away. I think even the episodes where we were a little disappointed with, each of us had one or two of those episodes. Even those episodes, whenever Kim Tae-ri was on screen, we were still glued. We were happy about that. So I think that speaks a lot.
True. And I was watching Mr. Sunshine and 2521. I was in the last bits of Mr. Sunshine when 2521 started. And Kim Tae-ri is playing such contrasting characters. She's 33. She pulled off a convincing 18-year-old. Her innocence, her smile, her being naive, full of optimism. You're in that age, right? Where everything you want to do, you think everything is going to fall in place. You know, she tells in one scene to Nam Joo Hyuk that everything's being taken away from you. How can you give up on happiness? So let's be happy in secret. It was so endearing, that scene. I've watched it so many times. The way the writer wrote Hido, if we are at some point in our life getting depressed, I want to go watch Hido and her optimism will rub on me. That's what I took away, biggest thing from her character.
And you wish you had a Hido in your life.
Seriously, seriously. And see, she had her own struggles, right, with her mother and her. She was in a fencing slump. It's not like her life was hunky-dory. But to maintain that optimism, the way she was, and Poonam, you've mentioned about her focus and grit, and I would like you to talk about it. But such amazing qualities in an 18-year-old, come on. I mean, I'll just keep watching her every day if I have
totally.
To.
Now, Hino is actually an outlier, not just in fiction. And she's an outlier character in fiction, and I'll talk about it soon. But she's definitely an outlier in real life as well. There are very few 18-year-olds who actually live by their conviction. And they don't hold back, especially given the circumstances. Like Meenal was saying, it wasn't easy. In fact, even her own mother didn't believe that she should continue fencing because she was in a slump. Everybody expected her to give up and move on. And moreover, when the fencing team was disbanded in her school because of the IMF crisis, because of the lack of budget, frankly speaking, majority will actually quit and go on because, hey, you know, why are you even doing this? This is not going to, you know, earn you money in future. You have to be a really outlier to earn money out of fencing during that crisis. So she still stood by her conviction, despite whatever her mom said, despite what was being believed about that. Who has that kind of conviction at 18? At 18, you're unsure about a lot of things. You're unsure about, am I pretty? I'm not sure I should shave this or double. You're unsure about your own body. You're unsure about how you're viewed by your friends. You don't know your place in the world. And to know that, you know what, I'm going to continue fencing because I love doing it. this concept that I have to continue doing it because I love doing it is not understood at that age because you are expected to be able, adult, and earn. It's Asian country, you are expected to earn.
And excel at studies, right? Her mother does say, even when she's won a medal, her mother actually tells her, are you serious not considering going to college? What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
It's a very Asian parent's mindset. But to not abide by it and just be focused and know her abilities that I am going to be Ko Yurim's rival. I am going to be better. I am going to go win a medal. She's such an inspirational character.
She is.
Another thing is to not hold grudges at that age.
Hold grudges is hard, but she doesn't hold back in anything. In fact, I would say that she is more courageous of her and her mother to even express her grief, her feelings of let down, her feelings. Look, communication is important. If you're feeling like crap, you have to tell. And a teenager is actually telling that to an adult throughout the drama, by the way. Not just to a mom, like all to all her characters. That is hard enough. So obviously, are you surprised that she actually doesn't keep grudge? Because she is a person who actually doesn't hold anything in.
I mean, even whether it's expressing love or disappointment, she's open up with her friends right away. I'm falling short of words to describe how awesome Hido is actually.
Yeah, she admires Ko Yurim. That's, again, she is a human being. She wants herself to excel and become her rival. That's also out in open. There's nothing sneaky about her. Frankly speaking, at that age, I had no clarity about what exactly is my dream. And I kept changing my dream to my mom in my letters. And my mom, her mom, she's tried changing plans to make up my different dreams happen. So for her to know very clearly that my dream is to A, continue to play fencing even if I am in slump, B, become Ko Yurim, who is like the topmost that she knows of, and her rival. Dream big and then work for it.
Exactly. Not just knowing, she works towards it. She knows that she has to get there to get to that school to for her to really practice and get under that coach to do that. So she'll go all out. She's even trying to get herself into jail. She doesn't mind doing that too, just so that her school will expel her and she'll go looking for another school. I think that speaks a lot. That is so much determination, so much focus on your goal to do that. I think that's amazing.
And when Minje is unhappy about that ballet and she says, I'll quit ballet, and she starts reading the diary, grudgingly, she also admits there is a scene where she says a dialogue, oh my God, how much she worked hard. And then she actually wrote down all her practice and exercise in there.
Yes.
In fact, I don't think they ever said that she was superbly talented always. She had some talent. Because of that, she did win once in a childhood. But afterwards, she was just pretty normal. But she just kept at it. So that's why I said that one of the key takeaways that I have taken is that it's not the talent, it's the grit. It's the conviction that makes you successful.
The perseverance towards a goal. And how many people have that? Very few people have that to succeed. So
absolutely. Just Poonam, the diary thing that you mentioned, I just now recalled. You remember that's exactly the thing that Wild Romance, his bodyguard says about Lee Dong Wook. That's exactly what...
Yeah. He says that you went to this many places.
No, not just that. Lee Dong Wook's diary also, he writes his practice. Today I did this many hits, this many sit-ups. So she asks, is this a diary or your practice record? So, yeah.
And she's like, this is so boring.
Exactly.
Your diary also has this.
Actually, that Minje looking at her diary, it recalled that scene when you spoke about it.
Connecting the perseverance of Hido's character to Kim Tae-ri. Remember, I shared a clip with y'all where the coach throws the apple and pick it up with the sword. Kim Tae-ri pulled it off, yeah. I mean, without a stunt double. Can you imagine? She's not a fencer. And to do this.
I really love that.
Yeah, and there was another video where they showed how much she ran in Mr. Sunshine and in 2521. All unleveled ground, rocks, mountains, whatnot. My God.
I mean, at the place that she is right now in her career, she can just order a stunt double to do this. And here is this girl doing everything on her own. And you should have seen in that clip the joy on her face after achieving that was so from her heart. Like I said, whether Kim Tae-ri is off screen or on screen, she just brings a lot of joy to the screen. So I absolutely admire her.
Yeah, our first drama I watched by accident as in I was watching Mr. Sunshine and Kim Tae-ri happened to be the dad. And we have talked about it, how she managed to look it dignified with three suitors, which could have been ridiculous in other situations. And that was a poised performance. And here, how much she did well as a teenager. And I hate to use this word, bubbly. I really, really hate that. But the other words that I know in English for the same thing are harder ones, making for reference. So that kind of feeling that she brings, that was like well thought out as I read from her interview. And she said that I decided that I'm going to play a loud teenager. Loud teenager with no holes barred kind of thing. And if there was an edit somebody made on how many times she shouted out to get it in to her friends, to outside, she's often shouting at her like topmost voice. Which is why I cannot connect with the adult version of Kiran Nahi, though, because her voice is, if you notice, it kind of comes from a guttural thing. It has a, I don't know, low bass or treble or something like that. It doesn't right. sound like the Kim Tae-ri who kept shouting all through the while.
Listen, her outbursts are my favorite thing, okay? Somebody needs to do a compilation. The first scene where she throws a tantrum when the police don't take her, she realizes she should have run. And then she stands there after the fight. And then she lies flat on the ground. That I remember my three-year-old niece threw a tantrum like that in the supermarket when we didn't give her a chocolate. I'm like, Kim Tae-ri, how awesome are you? See, sometimes these can become cringy and you feel like, why is it being so childish? Nothing. It was so much in her character, which is what I really loved. So we can go on and on about Hido and how awesome she was, how inspirational she is. But there were some other characters in the drama.
Yeah, there were many other characters.
So y'all pick your favorites first and then I'll also chime in.
My favorite is Jisungwon because I could relate to her character a lot. She's the topper of the class and she has this idealistic tendency towards her, right? Who believes that whatever you study and whatever you have learned through education till that time, who you believe that real world is like that. I think her character embodies that. She thinks that the law has told me that bullying is wrong. So I think this can be punished. I think that's a very innocent and straightforward way of thinking for that age, which is what most of us were at that age. So I could relate to that a lot. She was someone who was speaking her mind when she felt that she has to defend her friends or she has to protect her friends from the bully school teacher. She was trying to do that. She was trying to stop him by just taking him away when she could. And when it was beyond her control, when she felt that this is beyond wrong, she raised her voice. So I feel for that age, generally teenagers of that age are like that. And probably I could connect more because I was also almost like that at that age. And in high school, the kind of friendships that she had, both with girls and boys and the kind of gang that she was hanging out with. In high school, we did not have such a colorful high school because knowing Indian education system, yeah. That's the time you're struggling to study for entrance exams and all that.
Oh, I just went to a college and came back.
Exactly.
Here. Hey, I had great gang in 11 and 12. Yeah. In fact, I went to join tuitions purely because of the people who were going to the tuitions, not because I thought I needed it. I was a topper for God's sake. But when I told my parents I need to go to tuition, they thought maybe if she's insisting, maybe we should give her that. But frankly speaking, I really wanted to just hang out with different people.
No, but 11, 12, I hardly had any friends in terms of in college friends or a college circle. No.
Same here. I did not have so many friends as such, but whatever a little limited friends that we had at that time when we were all studying so hard, I think that bond was deeper even though you spent less time or you hung out far lesser. That was the case for me. So that's why I could relate to that, that mentality and that bond of hers with her friends and even with her mother, right? She's very open and she tells her why she can't give up on whatever she believes. So that's the kind of equation I've had with my own mother from that age, from secondary school to high school. So I felt very close to her character. Jisungwan was my favorite. Meenal, yours?
Mine was Jiyoung. I absolutely loved her. Loved him.
He's a riot.
He's such a riot. But why were any of my guy friends not so cool? I mean, the pickup lines that he said to Yurim, I will never forget. One of them was, they get punished. So he's actually carrying the history book. Nahido stands up. He just throws it to Nahido. And he goes like, okay, that's me. I'll go out and stand. Because he wants to stand with Yurim. Genji says, aren't you missing important things in the class? He's like, the most important thing is outside. And you should see Yurim's face, okay? She's so happy and she's blushing. And none of his pickup lines or when he was trying to show Yurim how much he likes her, he has a crush on her, were cheesy or cringy, okay? It's just probably the way he acted it out. I just remember she's down after the controversy and she calls him and he's with his hip-hop gang somewhere. And she says, where are you? And he says, it doesn't matter where I am. Tell me where I should come. And it's the same pattern that repeats in the proposal as well. He says, doesn't matter where I've come from. Where we go from here is important. So the guy is always looking forward to the future. So, and I loved how much crush he has on Yejin also. He can't stop admiring Yejin after the
beach. He was jealous of Yejin in beginning.
He's even like, oh my God, look at him. He's so pretty.
And later when he figured out, actually Yijin does that. He says, okay, which club were you in? You're part of the school. And then he establishes his seniority. And then slowly, grudgingly, then he becomes a fan.
Somewhere they say, wasn't he against Yejin or wasn't he jealous of Yejin? And they seem like totally looking up to him. And then Singwan says, well, he tends to waver because he likes beautiful things. And I was like, what?
Even his loyalty to Singwan was amazing, right? Meenal, it is...
Amazing, amazing.
Actually, one of the scenes with him is my favorite. Though I am probably an exception with respect to you two. I was not much interested in his character. His pickup lines were great, but the moment that concert where he asks her out, not saying anything old by lip sync, which only she can read, after that, I pretty much was kind of known it will happen. I really didn't care to see their scene so much. Okay, please move on. Let me get to the other parts of the story. I'm happy for you that you guys are together. Fine. So, but all the other characters, Sungwan is absolutely relatable because even at the age of 18, 19, I was calling police, dialing 100 on a regular basis to shut down the loudspeakers in the temples and I don't know, all kinds of sundry things that I have done in my life. So, Sumbhan, I do relate. I relate with even Becky Jean, you both don't, but I do because of certain reasons in my family. I felt like that I had to earn money quickly. So I got into that mode of living maturely, even though my energy and how I live is like Kim Tyree, but that's not a how I lived always. I lived with Becky Jean's kind of maturity. In fact, I managed to carry on that charade for many long years, almost 10-15 years. It kind of shattered only when my best friend's friend met me and he said, they're like, my God, she's not at all what I thought. She's, my God, that's such a young person. And some of it was not complimentary because they did think I was immature. But immature people think that they are mature, they are adults because of what responsibility they think they should take. My parents didn't say I should take that, but I felt that I should take care of it because, so I understand and relate with Becky Jean a lot because of that reason. But he is not my second favorite character. My second favorite character is Coach Nim. I wish people around the world are lucky and blessed enough to have a coach like that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. She was brilliant.
Because yeah. If Nahidu doesn't keep grudge, so doesn't
True.
Coach Nim. She
True.
Could very easily thwart Nahidu because of what her friend and Nahidu's mother did.
Yeah.
But she knowingly, she chose to ignore that. She decided to honor Nahidu's grit. When Nahidu won against Ko Yurim and she kind of put her down, she said, don't do that. This is what we are taught, right? Even if you're doing the best, we are taught to say that, oh, no, no. Frankly speaking, I still have problem accepting compliments. Like people say that, just say thank you.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. We are not taught how to accept compliments. We are always told to underplay our achievement. It's just a mindset how we are brought up.
Exactly.
Yeah, act humble.
That's the word, Sangeeta.
Yeah, humble. Actually, all Indian kids have been taught to be humble to elders, to everybody. And she's like, no, don't be like that. It's not a fluke. You won against nobody but Ko Yurim. I mean, don't disrespect her also.
Exactly.
So, it isn't a big achievement. Only once I felt like maybe Coach Nim should not so openly support Nahidu against match in Ko Yurim. But I think she was okay to do so because she was not the national team coach at that time. She was the previous coach for both of them. Yeah, Nahidu was her latest student to go to national college or national village or whatever they call it.
Also, like she says, right, when Nahidu goes to her for training, she says that nobody asked me for personal training. When Ko Yurim asks her, why are you giving her special training? She says, nobody asked me.
Correct.
So that's only natural that she takes a preference or liking to her. She has seen her perseverance.
Yeah. Not yeah. just that. There is the scene where the other athlete, I'm forgetting her name.
Yejin. Who wants to quit?
Yeah. Yejin. She wants to quit. I had so much faith in Coach Neem's character by then. I kind of knew that she has a very good reason for not letting her quit while she's at lowest point in life.
Same.
Absolutely. That is so true. We did not even for a second doubt why she's behaving like this. But you know what, Poonam, my favorite thing about Coach Nim is lying down in the park and in the sun and she's like, what are you doing? Photosynthesis. Oh, wow. I would love to do that.
Moves her feet in a such a manner which kind of shows that she's having fun. I really enjoyed her character and how she helps Ko Yurim get the best deal when she's moving to Russia. I know a lot of people, teachers would actually show hurt and show that, why are you doing this? We are doing best for you. I've always done best for you. But no, she understood what she needs.
Because all the countries against her already, it was so easy for her to move away and say that, okay, I don't have anything to do with you, right? But still, she takes her under the wing and she says, okay, I'll get you the best deal.
Yeah, Coach Nim was a very heartwarming character. In fact, she loves Nahidu so much, she calls her and tells her, look, I know Becky Jean is your friend, but you know, he's a journalist. You know, watch out. But having said that, she never treated Becky Jean unfairly ever either.
No. I mean, she didn't treat her own friend who she felt betrayed unfairly either, right? She could have taken it out on her daughter, but she never did that. She was very principled.
And she was so hurt about that. Whenever she spoke to her mom, she was always hurt.
She had full reasons to be hurt, right? Because her side of the story never came out.
And not just that, she could have used that against her own friend because she knows that
Correct.
Nahidu is not on great terms with her mom, but she doesn't do that.
Yeah.
In fact, she goes to her friend and tells her, probably you should have spoken to her. After that whole medal fiasco, you could have just spoken to her at least after you have delivered the news. I think that's a very sweet gesture, both as a friend
Correct.
And a coach.
The two things that you have mentioned, two scenes, Sangeeta, these are like my most conflicting things as well. Because as a professional, a journalist, as Nahidu's mother's pride to be as she wanted to make her name, the least she could do was to present her side of it.
Yes.
And as a friend, definitely she should have done that. This is a very conflicting thing that I feel about Nahidu's mother. And the second one is that one. I totally understand she's a single parent. But some of the choices that she made, and she made those choices. And she's also very clear about it that she made those choices. Could not have been easy on a child. I understand that she had to read the news about Nahidu's gold medal controversy. But how could she not call, give her a single call yet? They were one of the few privileged who even had mobile pager, whatever. She could have done that.
Yeah, especially, I mean, I could understand even the funeral scene where she went to read the news rather than attending the funeral, because that was the time when she was trying to make the build the career and she's lost her partner. But the Nahidu scene, she was well established. She's her mom, for heaven's sake. I mean, being a wife and being a mom is a lot different.
And only family.
Yeah, exactly. So the least she could have done is at least spoken to her after that. She did not even bother to find out where she is the whole night.
Actually, I was wondering the same thing.
Yeah.
The girl didn't turn up home. You should be worried what stress she has gone through.
But I understood that she is used to not knowing where is Nahidu. Is she coming at home? Because Nahidu is generally a good child anyway.
True.
And by this time she knows
that's right.
But at least on that night she should have checked.
That night, yeah. It's not about an everyday. The girl has won her gold medal and is being ostracized by the media and her own team members. Come on.
And you know media better than anyone else.
Exactly.
So you could have rationalized and told her, this is what it is, that's all right. And she could have made her feel so much better, but she was absent in that.
She was a conflicting character, no doubt about that.
That not showing up on her father's funeral is also a thing I don't 100% understand. Because her father's funeral day will not come. A big global event can still occur again. Opportunity can still occur again. Hard enough, I understand, right. But can still occur again. But not being there for your child on that particular day, especially it was a father she cherished so much and he withered away in front of his eyes, I don't think a child of that age can recover. Again, I cannot directly judge on these kind of things because I do understand adults have to take care of themselves as well. Like there might be mitigating circumstances where she needed to prove herself or whatever, but still not being there on that day until that wrapped up. Even if your own mom was there to take care of the child, thank God for that, by the way. My parents are irreplaceable. You cannot replace them just because there was a, you know, grandmother there.
That's what we were discussing also on the chat, right? You cannot tell Hido should forgive her because Hido has full rights not to forgive her for not
Absolutely.
Being there. It's completely fine. Hido is justified in the way she felt about her mom for all those years. She carried it in her heart. You're going through so much grief and the one person who knows, understands the loss of that person is not there with you. Her friends and her grandmom, nobody's going to understand that. Only her mother knows. And I understand this because both of them couldn't communicate. Sometimes grief can get you together, bond you for life. Sometimes it can also take you apart. So I think that's what happened.
Sangeeta, help me understand that. Actually, a little bit. You mentioned something, Sangeeta, where you knew somebody who actually dealt with their grief that way. Not
exactly,
talking
yes.
about it, right? And being resentful about that they had to deal with the
right.
grief. So
yeah.
I understand that people have different ways of dealing with grief. But that's what adults are supposed to do. Children have nobody else to protect them other than the parents. Again, I'm not saying I want to see another toxic situation when a parent is killing themselves to take care of the child. I don't want that. But some things are too monumental to ignore.
Agreed. Absolutely.
Yurim was as equally important as Hido in the initial episodes because she wanted
Many
to
reasons.
Be her rival. Yeah, she looked up to her. And that cute scene where she passes on the umbrella,
yeah.
I think that should be like, should go into hallmark of K-drama scenes.
Okay. Yeah, now you're shouting even in that scene. Fenia!
Oh, yeah!
She's so cute. Yeah, I think I need to see Nahidu shouting compilation.
Totally. And she tells her later also, you cherish what I gave you so much, but you hate me so much.
People say they were shipping back to Baikijin and Nahidu. I could ship Koyurim and Nahidu. For me, the bestest episodes were the ones where they were all over each other. And they were like fussing over each other, taking care of each other. My God, it was so
Totally. Even Becky Jin is with you, Mipunam. He says that you both should have started dating together.
He's like, what is this, guys? Is this some blind date or something you're on? What is going on?
No, no, before that, he is actually very shocked because he knows them to be very hostile to each other. Are you faking it for me? Are you faking it for the camera? And then it suddenly hits him. They probably have found that out. And he's like, oh, you know. And they're like, yeah. And my God, after that, he's just resigned to see them take care of each other.
And you could see how Yijin is the third wheel in most of these scenes, right? Wherever he's there. He's shooting them or whatever. You could see that, okay, he's the third wheel. These two are the main people here.
But that's how it should be. And at that Absolutely. Age, we know how to do that. I don't remember a time at school or a college or anywhere I've ever ignored my girlfriend to be with a man.
Totally.
Definitely never, ever, ever. They're like lowest priority.
But even that scene where he asked them, what is going on? Are you guys on a blind date? Then she says, yeah, but you lied to me. And he's like, sorry, how is it my fault? She asked me to.
No. I love that. I love that Navidu always remembered that who should have acted how with her. And she always tells them that you were wrong.
Exactly.
So even in her happiest moment, she didn't forget that Becky Jing had lied to her.
And because it had also caused her the most embarrassing moment of her life, where she says, I have to have you. Like, dude, what did you just say to him?
That part of the boldness is something even I had, and I find it relatable. I have to have you, not, I have not said things like that, but I have teased my boyfriends than they have teased me. So this whole drama is very relatable for me because I have aspects of each person's character except Jihoon's. I have never had that kind of devotion for anybody ever.
He was so devoted, yeah.
Yeah. He was cool and smooth with that. But
exactly. He never got cringy.
Especially in high school dramas.
Agreed.
One of my favorite scenes is with Jihoon when he realized that Sungwan has made this choice and she's going to be expelled. He's just like any good friend, his world comes out so crushingly, and he gets up and he's like, how can you do this? You cannot do this, you go back. He knows that she did it for him, but he can't bear to have her suffer because of it. And he said, the only bad thing that you have done is that I am your friend. I totally understand that feeling, that heart-crushing feeling that, you know, my friend is going to take the fall for me. And even though he did nothing wrong, he's completely innocent, and yet it is because of him. I love that friendship, that platonic friendship. This is another thing I love about Sungwan, that you have a friendship with a guy and you don't have a secret crush on him. I don't know why they make female friendship crushes eventually.
Ek ladka ladki kabhi dost nahi ho sakte, Poonam.
Exactly that.
But their friendship was just one of the highlights for me as well. And Sungwan keeps telling him, stop giving yourself so much importance. I didn't quit because of you. I love that they kept it from their childhood till their adulthood. They were the same with each other.
And one more thing I felt about Sungwan's character is they put a lot of mystery in her character. During the discussion with Yijin, she says that life is so boring. At her dad's funeral, he says that, you said this the first time I met you also. I felt that they gave that mystery angle to her because she is this topper who has a great friend, who has everything going for her. She has a supportive mom, but she feels life is boring. You could see that maybe something bad is going to happen to her, or maybe she is losing out on something or whatever it is.
It wasn't that. They treat geniuses as restless. So most geniuses like Sherlock Holmes and all of them, they keep saying life is boring. They're bored soon enough because they are exhausted their interest in whatever was at hand there.
True. Yeah. That is true. Yeah. That is true.
One is meant to be like that throughout her life because she has several interests. She's quick to pick up things. So she is perpetually going to be...
Yeah, when she goes into the new school and she gets elected also, she's like, I'm used to doing these things.
That's why she's kind of bored and she's looking for new experience. I totally understand that. Another thing is that such kind of people are more prone to mental health depressions as well.
Exactly. So that is what I was getting at. When she said that life is so boring and all, I felt that they probably will lead to that because everybody else's character was so rosy and sunny despite the hardships that they were going through. So I thought maybe her character, they will give that angle, but in a way, good, they did not, because the whole drama was very positive on that.
Maybe she did, but that was not the point of the drama.
That's what I mean. They did not show us that part, right? So that's what I'm saying. Because if everything was going great and one character was going through a tough time, even that would have been a hard watch for a lot of people who were disappointed later on, which we'll come to later.
One of my favorite Sungwan scenes is a very simple one. She goes home after making a decision that she's going to change schools or drop out of the school. Her mom asks, is it really necessary? And she says, yes. And then her mom goes to school with her and she gives them a piece of her mind. Telling them what a shitty school
good.
This is and my daughter should have dropped out. And then Sungwan is quietly saying like, okay, I take after my mom. Only the hospitality of her mom, sweet side of the mountain, and that character is genuinely like that before and after that scene. She's always nice to Becky Jean. How she meets her friend.
Her mom is so adorable because the first time Hido and Yurim turn up at her place, they have to clear the place of the loaches, right? And then when she comes to know that it's Koyurim and Hido, I made two national fencers clear loaches. No wonder the soup tasted so well. Where people find joy.
But you know what? That's very relatable. And which is why maybe I thought that they cast adult Nahidu like that. Because in adulthood, people, coolest people have a different priorities. They want to take care of their kids. They want to take care of their families. So they may look uncool by the definition that we take out. But actually in their own way, they're the coolest people. And I think someone realized that moment. I find it relatable. We also don't know all aspects of our parents. Unless and until when the occasion rises, they show up that part of themselves.
Absolutely. Very true. Very true.
True. Absolutely. So all the nice characters we've spoken about, any character that you didn't like or you could have made without in the drama?
For me, it was Becky Jin's mom. See, I can understand that she's suddenly so flustered that they've lost all this money. And I was okay with all that part. What I could not understand was she keeps saying that yobo, yobo. She's all the time being so mushy about her husband. And even when her brother says, You're not bothered about your own children, but you're so bothered about your husband. She says, they have their own lives and I'm only bothered about my husband. I felt it a little unreal, if you ask me. Till then, whatever they've showed about Becky Jin, it looked like they were a very tightly knit family, despite being very rich. And he shares that kind of bond with his dad also. When he speaks to him on phone, he says that you were my greatest strength 10 years ago and you still are. So it showed like they were a tightly knit family. Even his brother is very close and they both have share a great bond. So she feels like an outlier to me.
No, I relate to that character. No, I do. There are people like that I have known in my life.
No, I don't deny that. There are people like that. It's not about people like that not existing.
I don't think it is an anything outlier about her mom behaving like that. When they were a tightly knit family, when there is a good support system, it's okay. There are certain people who are used to living a sheltered life. There are still women who let men take care of loads of things from finances. They basically have them design the structure and they operate within that. And once that is taken away, people become helpless. By the way, that doesn't happen just to women. It happens to men a lot too. It's just that we don't see those kind of characters. I also know loads of couples who, being a couple, their relationship is much important than the relationship with the kids. It's very difficult thing for Asians to kind of accept or Asian character to portray. I kind of understand that. But there are loads of people like that. And there are also loads of people who my best friend says that they were probably born with a couple DNA sorts. Like once they get married or they get partnered, you just see the couple.
Don't see the individual.
Yeah, exactly. You never see that again. If there are people like that and...
I felt a bit sorry for Ye Jin because, see, his younger brother cannot give him the emotional support. His father is far away.
That is true.
The mother could be is just be supportive and listening to him. And I don't think he got that. That's where I felt a little bad for Ye Jin.
Exactly.
So that's why she annoyed me.
Exactly.
What Meenal said is the whole point of that character. That character exists there to show how lonely Becky Jin was and just as Nahidu was.
That is true.
In fact, he, at that young age, was in a position where he had to look after his mother. In Asian countries, it's not abnormal at all for young son to assume responsibility for their mother at
Of course.
That's true.
That served the point that he was so alone and he felt that he had responsibility of his younger brother and his mom as well.
Agree. Yeah, that definitely comes across.
But I really loved the uncle also.
Oh yeah, uncle was cute.
Uncle was very kind, very kind.
And you know, every time his mom would say yabo, she would say, oh, to, now again, you know, so much used to that.
And probably he also understood how the kids would feel, right?
True.
Being a sibling, I feel this, so imagine the kids.
Exactly. I think he saw that the younger one was struggling a bit. So, I mean, Ye Jin definitely was, but even the younger one needed a lot of emotional support.
Because younger one was going through an identity crisis. He had friends because he was well-to-do, and suddenly he was being seen as a loser because, you know, they were not rich. And suddenly he's seeing his brother, who used to drive a sports car, working in a fish market. He was ashamed of that. And frankly speaking, it's human. I don't blame him for that. It takes a lot of time to get it.
Definitely not in Korean schools, going by whatever we've been watching in most of the dramas and whatever you read, right?
It's, yeah.
The school bullying is so much, and you being typecast is so high that you wouldn't want to take that chance and be a victim of bullying, which is what happens to him in Seoul, actually.
Exactly. He's a teenager coping up with so many things. It's so hard as it is. And to be dealt that kind of blow in your life, it's understood. I don't think he was ashamed of his brother. It was just what his insecurities were coming out. So really can't blame him. But he was such a sweet brother.
True,
also,
yeah. Very sweet.
And he kept telling him, don't think about me.
Yeah.
Just go do what you want to do.
Exactly.
And Vekichin even later admits, I've been using them as an excuse not to do what
I should. I mean, I think at the end, it's been a drama with many positive characters, right? Really no villains or anything. It was just the circumstances where the way people were behaving.
True.
And thank God for that, yeah. I'm tired of all those dramas that milk every ounce of pain and sadness that you should feel about it. Off late, I pursue dramas, even if they are difficult subjects. But they don't dwell on toxicity. They don't dwell on showing negative things on the screen. And 2521 was a breath of fresh air in that from start to finish. Even if the elephant in the room, that ending.
Pick your favorite scenes in terms of which made you laugh the most. And then we'll go to heartwarming. And if there were any scenes that conflicted you.
Two scenes I will start. And both of them involve Baekhyun and Nahidu. First one, obviously everybody should have found it funny. Which is when she puts up that do not disturb. Lost the job interview.
Disturb. Not disturb.
But she makes mistake in that comic as well, and where she kind of draws the whole thing. And she has all the spellings wrong in there. He even tells her, by the way. So that kind of prank is just me. So I completely relate to that, and that next day everybody is sympathizing. In a fun kind of way, something good happened to Baekhyun, which he realized toward the end of the day. And the second scene is when Baekhyun is in a hotel lobby and somebody is speaking in French about the luggage, and then suddenly Nahidu, like an angel, she comes in and resolves the situation. And he's like this. And later, he simply cannot move past it while they're out on the stairs. He asks, no. Explain this thing. How do you know French?
She says, so you're thinking I cannot spell in Hangul, but I can speak French so fluently. Let me tell you why.
She also enjoyed very well. Now even is quite self-aware for that matter.
How she says, no mercy be coop. She totally. Just takes away her whole attitude.
What are your favorite scenes?
For me, it was in the initial episodes when Hido is trying to get expelled and she goes all full school bully level, rolls her sleeves up and she's like, let me catch a fight. She's going, bumping into her schoolmates and they're like, wait, you have to protect your body because you're a fencer. And she's like this deflated balloon. Oh my God, I can't even bully people. So that was, especially because we have seen so many high school dramas where one character is being bullied or a bully or whatever. You'd think that maybe some characters are like this in this drama also. And then you see that and you burst out laughing. Oh my God, that was a surprise. That one and the other scene where they're all going to the beach and they come up with this weird
dress. Oh, they dress up.
I know, yeah.
Yeah.
And Baekhyun is like,
imagine
cancer.
They're dressed like that and they're going in a sports car to the beach. I'm like, wow. I mean,
so Hina, wait. I want to actually talk about what Sungwan was wearing. Okay? First of all, she had tied her hair with a middle parting, and she had a green hair clip, and she had a pink hair clip. And I think Sungwan's hair choices never improved, and then she wanted a perm.
Permed, yeah.
And only the girls who loved her, and they told her, no, it's pretty, it's nice. And only Becky could they openly tell her that, no, when will you get over this?
So mine was it the first or is it the second episode when her mother in a fight tears off the comic book, right, Full House, and then she goes and first of all she has the confidence to draw and write the comic and expect that it will never be discovered.
I could totally identify with Nahita there, because if I had to draw, that's how I would draw.
Full marks for the effort, Meenal.
Definitely, definitely.
And also the intention. Nobody should miss out a sentence.
And the confidence that you won't get caught, because...
The confidence that they will not realize. But her body language and her micro expressions when she realizes Eugene is still there. She expected to just drop it and go away. And Eugene discovers and calls out. And then her epic meltdown. And the way she's mumbling. She's like, this is so humiliating. And I could feel the humiliation. I go to that scene 10,000 times because she just cracks me up in that scene. And this was just one of her epic meltdowns. She has had many. Even when Eugene, when he breaks off the penis of the statue. And then he's like, okay, so what do you expect me to do after this? And she's like, nothing. I needed to vent because I'm angry. And she scoots off. And she's like, so... Like Poonam said, like she has no filter. She'll just go say it out. So I think that was my most favorite scene. But the other one was when Jiyoung and Seungwan, when she's stuck in the room, their school room, they are coming down. And Jiyoung says, oh, there's a ghost in the toilet which cries at midnight. And Seungwan is like, you know, this is all cliched stories and all. And then suddenly they hear someone crying and they just scoot off. And Hido and Eugene also join in. There's epic chaos all over. Like, nobody asks why they're running. And then Jiyoung says, no, just like that for nothing.
But you know what? Their school scenes are funny. Do you remember when they catch kids from other school coming in there and
stealing cushions? Cushions.
Yeah. And what is the worst curse that they can think of? Failure exam.
Exactly. And that's what a high schooler can think of. Not a normal high schooler can.
That is the most non-toxic, painful thing I can think of.
And Seungwan is saying, you realize, right, that's my pillow which has a lot of saliva and all on it. And he's like, oh, that grossed me out. Many, many such scenes like
that. Yeah, actually, there are many such scenes. We have just scratched the surface of it. And all of them are these small micro scenes.
Absolutely. Any heartwarming ones? I think there were a lot of heartwarming ones, but
yeah,
loads of them. But pick some of the favorite ones you'd like to share.
My favorite scene is the one that Meena was referring to earlier, where Becky Jin has just said that I am never going to be happy ever again. And she witnesses that and she wants to cheer him up. And at the last minute, she can only think of that, go to their school, and then she opens the tap. And I can see that one first moment of Becky Jin's expression where I've actually gone back and seen that scene a couple of times. She's like, is this supposed to make me happy? One tap, what turned going off? There is this few seconds and where he's not able to relay. And then few seconds later, he's gone ahead and he upturns all the taps. And then Nahidu says that, oh, I was thinking is quite big. Why did I do it with only one tap? This, I realized this much later, but that's when that haunting song, that original inspiration song comes in. I saw that somebody complained that this song, why am I hearing it in like episode 15? I was like, oh, I have heard this song before. And that is first played in that tap confounding scene, that 2521 Jairim song, which is said to have inspired the author for the title and for that whole feeling, the expression that she wants to capture in the drama, that nostalgia, that feeling of young love, innocent love. The wordings are also full of longing, and Jairim, the person who sang the song, I've seen a video where she's singing in a concert. Her voice does something to my insides. It's a voice full of yearning and longing, and it's like celebrating a memory. And that plays in that scene over there. And I was like, no wonder it's stuck in my head.
So it didn't stay with me at that point because there were two other songs that keep playing repeatedly. But when Poonam shared that link and I saw the video, I've been listening to it on a loop.
Same here. I did not notice that before. Only when Poonam shared, it stuck with me.
Yeah, it's stuck. The lyrics are very heart-touching.
The lyrics are so relative. A person of any age could relate to it. It says something like, I still feels like I'm holding your hand. And she actually pictures the entire memory, that scent that comes with that wind. And she talks about, I still thought that we would be forever 25, 21. Talks about voice, and she also mentions tender body heat. Maybe that's why she didn't use the whole song in that drama. She uses only small snippet of that part in the drama whenever she has.
But that's, I think, that is where the writer started foreshadowing, right, of things to come.
Yeah, I could not have known about it. After the drama had finished, I found out that somebody, simply by listening to that song in that second episode, had actually already said that this is a nostalgia coming of age drama and this is not going to be with the pair ending up together.
I think for me, Nahido's whole medal controversy that happens, there was a conflict in terms of how Yurim's attitude was at that point. I could sense where Yurim is coming from, given what pressure she was under to win the gold medal and her financial situation of her family. She should have just accepted the referee's decision, but again, players have the right to appeal as well. So I kind of got Yurim's viewpoint and I didn't hate her at all. But what it put Nahido through was really unfair. She wins her first gold medal and nobody's really on her side, right, in the national team. She's fighting so many battles. And again, then she sees her mom showing the news. So she's completely crushed. An 18-year-old should be enjoying her victory, cherishing this moment in her life. It's her first gold medal. And then she finds help and the words she needed to hear from strangers in the restaurant. And it really touched my heart. It really touched my heart. The way the old man cheers her up. He says, "You go great. You take the name ahead of Korean fencing. Oh, you must be so crushed. Oh, we understand what you're going through. You need somebody to talk to you." Just, it was like a warm hug for her and the way she broke down. So that scene really stayed with me.
That's one of my favorite scenes too.
And also how much they grow together, right? Because again, later on in Madrid, when they both have to face off and Yurim loses that, the scene after that, after the match is over.
Hug each other and cry.
And they both tell each other that only we both can understand each other, which is so very heartwarming. And especially for someone in sports, the sporting spirit, we can totally understand. That is really, really great, both in terms of character growth and as a scene. It's very heartwarming.
Given what Yurim has gone through at that point, right? She's changed her nationality. She's treated like a traitor by her whole country, you know.
And they both are such professionals. They refuse to even talk to each other or engage with each other consciously or unconsciously. Shown so well.
Yeah, but also there was this thing. They were both also very clear that they are going to do best win as well, which is why Nahido refuses to meet her before the match because she knew that it would be hard to see her friend and then be her best. So the match was so tightly hard fought, which is why after they hug, you can hear the background, the audience cheering. The writer and director have taken care of so many little details. Otherwise, media would say that, hey, they didn't pray well. They did that way and after that, they gave it all to their love as well. But that Nahido thing, the only two comfort that Nahido got on during that gold controversy was one. And the second one, when she meets Ko Yurim's mother, she is so scared because she's like, okay, because I'm not liked by Ko Yurim and her mom is definitely gonna be... Nahido is never mousy, let me just say that. But in that scene, she's standing with a lot of apprehension and then her mom comes and just hugs her. Those two moments are what I think even I lived for in those episodes because as an audience, you were wishing, please, somebody do something for the girl. Please hug her. There is nothing that she did wrong. That was one really heartwarming. I think this is something only mothers can do. Understand what other children are also going through.
And I think Yurim's parents were so lovely. Her father and mother were just so kind-hearted souls throughout. I mean, given what their financial situations they were going through, I think towards Yurim also, they were so lovely. And I think it showed Nahido had the financial security, but not the emotional support.
True.
Yurim didn't have the financial security, but the emotional support. So they were lacking in one aspect or the other. And I think that's why they could come together as friends and give each other everything, which is beautiful to watch.
Yeah. Oyurim's father was a very fair person also. There is a scene when he picks her up after that controversy in the truck and he tells her, see, Oyurim did nothing wrong in appealing as an athlete, that's her right. The only thing was not to accept even after the referee had made up a decision. And any sports person, and she was a seasoned one, knows that. But having said that, she's very young at age.
She's 18, yeah.
Yeah, she's 18. And moreover, her feelings for Nahido weren't simple. As she admits later that she had been afraid of Nahido even when she was gaslighting her to say, you are a nobody. She had been.
Yeah.
So when you are playing with so much burden to take care of your family and you don't really like the person, your judgment might be misplaced. You are not doing it consciously, but you might genuinely think that I am unfair. So her father tells her, you know what, Yurin, now on, don't play for your family. Just play for yourself. And second, he tells her, you should listen to what the referee said. You should listen to that. And he just said that and left it at that. And that's enough for a child, rather than, you know, keep drilling it into them that you did wrong. And I thought that's what parenting should be. You tell them what's the right thing to do and you be there for them to support.
I agree. I think they were a fine example of good parents.
Very true. For me, the scene where Becky Jin and Jisungwan are talking after she transfers schools, the whole bully teacher fiasco happens when they both are talking. Yijin buds off that another reporter who was trying to be nasty and who was trying to portray her as a rebellious student who's not listening to her teacher's kind. That is the story he came to write. He tells him that I have been to this school. I know the teacher. He is a bully. So there is nothing to write here. Go away.
Yeah.
And after that, they both sit and have a small chat. And Sungwan says that I thought I'm relatively smart. She emphasizes that word relatively. And she says, I thought I was relatively smart, but then if you didn't come, I would have been talking to that reporter and maybe in a bad scene.
It was grudgingly said.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was a compliment or a thank you grudgingly given. Because she genuinely does think that I know more.
Exactly. So that was very sweet. And I think that reflected both their ages also very well.
The Sungwan is actually quite understanding, even though she doesn't seem to be living that kind of life. So when Nahidu had, after that whole controversy, she had sneaked into the school and she calls Becky Jin to rescue her, and Becky Jin obviously has to call them, Sungwan, and she says that, oh god, we have to do this quietly because we can't create more mess for Nahidu. That's so sweet and thoughtful, and that's rightly the one kind of character would do for Nahidu.
True, absolutely.
Are there any heartbreaking scenes?
For me, a lot of the scenes with Nahidu before her mom comes around, a lot of those scenes were very heartbreaking, where her mom didn't call her or where she closes off to her mom entirely. It was very painful to watch. Imagine a character who is 19 years old to go through so much. That was very difficult to watch.
I don't know why her mother was so cold to her. I can understand not expressing, being able to express how much you miss your husbands because you want to protect your child emotionally and not make your child go through the grief. But why would you be cold to her? She felt very cold in the initial episodes.
Yeah, even when Yijin doesn't understand Hido or stand up for her, the scene where she says that you should have stood up for me because I have stood up for you unconditionally.
Yes.
I think that was very heartbreaking, because actually she was right in that scene. He doesn't know anything about fencing and he doesn't know whether Yurim is right or she is right. But for that moment, he could have said that, okay, I understand you, or comforted her, which she did not get. I can totally understand how hurt she would have felt at that.
Actually, Nahidu's mom puts me in a lot of conflict. I can, in a manner of speaking, still understand that in the daily life, she was not very warming up. That's okay. I mean, a lot of surviving parents might like do that. But I don't understand her not calling on that night, not checking, looking after her. I mean, there are some monuments. That funeral thing, it's a big deal. You have to be there for some small time. You have to talk to, you have to hug your child that day. And those kind of things, they feel monumental to me. And one scene that I genuinely hated, and probably the only thing that I hated so much, was there is a conversation between Nahidu's mom and Minchi, where Minchi tells Nahidu's mom, oh my god, I know how heartbroken you would have felt to read the news. And she says that, your mom didn't understand.
That was very mean. A child of that age cannot understand.
Yeah, that was very mean.
Exactly. I mean, if anything, she should have told the child, no, I think it must have been hard or something like that. Not saying that, you know what, she should have understood it.
Which actually adult Hido does a lot. Like, she tells Minche that it's okay. It's okay to fail. It's okay to feel that way. She tries to keep telling her that.
Yeah,
but her mom is trying to tell her that your mom shouldn't have felt that way. That is so mean.
And that when you have grown older and you have seen how much well your child has done. Actually, Nahidu did her best, very best in that situation that she had.
She continued doing her best as a mother. I think her husband's away, right? He's not with them right now. So for that period of that pandemic, she is raising her daughter. She's a single parent in all purpose. And her daughter wanted to quit ballet. She's like, okay, quit. Take a break. She was so understanding towards her child. What her mother wasn't, she didn't pass on the same thing. She actually made an effort to be a good mom.
In fact, it's the reverse. Her mom says that you're not so good at fencing, so you quit. But Hido tells her that it's all right to fail. So what if you did not win that?
Exactly. And if you like it, do it. If you enjoy it, just do it for the joy of it. So she's just an exceptionally written character, like Poonam keeps saying. She's an outlier.
She understands her child also pretty well.
Very well.
She knows that her child is growing under the shadow of a celebrity mom. So she is very careful not to shadow Minchui's thing. Because wherever she goes, people are like, oh, she's a gold medalist. She's like the famous fencer. And another thing, she still leads by that grit example. Do you remember there is a scene where she asks that she will mend that chair again herself? That chair
has
such a lovely memory for her. She has kept it till now and she will still go and mend it by herself. So there is nothing that Nahiru thinks that she cannot do.
True.
Other than probably write correct.
I want to connect the next segment. One is when we started watching the drama, what was our perception? And how would you connect it to the ending? So then we can even go to the ending and discuss, because it has caused a lot of grief to a lot of people. And let's try and see if we can appease or pacify that aspect.
I think Sangeeta, because this first time when Sangeeta was pouring her angst over the last episode, I was actually laughing. I've never seen Sangeeta like that. I have never seen her like that. I knew that what she was doing.
Listen, ranting Poonam me rant like with extremes, but Sangeeta getting upset over this, why? So Sangeeta kickstart, yes, tell us what you perceived and how it ended.
Please go on.
Right, so for me, going by the trailers and the first 1-2 episodes, the first week episodes, it looked like Nahido's story, right? So it looked like it is about her. So considering that it started with her daughter's ballet and it went on to her fencing, I thought it would be more sports focused. But then again, I knew that there would be a romance angle, because you don't cast Nam Joo Hyuk just to play a side
fiddle. But he was a side fiddle. It turned out to be a side fiddle whole thing.
So for me, that is how I started looking at it as. Once Koyurun started and that whole rival thing started, you could see that there is some tension between these two girls and it's going to develop into something else. Either it's going to be intense sports rivalry or they're going to be good friends. Going by K-drama, there has to be only two ways of doing it. So you could see that is where it is progressing. And then you see all these new characters, the friend characters coming. So it looked like a school drama, a high school drama with a bunch of kids. And then again, there is this parallel romance track, but which was really not the focus for me, because the romance as such, you could see that they're not putting so much focus on that romance also. There was not so much of pining, yearning whatsoever. It was more about supporting each other at that age, because he's going through a hardship. She's working hard in her career. So you could see that they're both supporting each other. So that was only the part in terms of romance. So I was not thinking that it's going to be a romance drama. It was more of Nahido's story for me. It looked like coming of age, yes. But again, it was more of Nahido for her. What did she do with her life? Which is why the ending was disappointing, which we will get to once we discuss the ending.
I think I should frame those messages from Sangeeta. this actually happened. I didn't dream it.
It's one in a rare million kind of event.
And it's not even a Lee Dong-wook drama.
Exactly.
And the next tradition is even more. This happened on a very happy day. Imagine if that was not a happy day.
We got 50 more messages.
I know. My explanation left me just speechless.
But like Sangeeta, for me also, it was very much Kim Tae-ri stole the show in the first episode. So I knew I was only going to be really invested in her story. It was a bonus that I liked all the other characters and how they showed the character arcs.
Meenal told us after every episode at least twice, I don't care about the romance. I don't care about the romance.
Yeah, I just don't. It was irrelevant for me in the sense that It was not going to make my heart flutter because teenage romances rarely do.
Meena, that is so judgmental on a whole lot of your That's why coming of age female stories aren't there. Because people like Meena aren't interested in it. No, I am not bringing out the other interpretation, but let it be.
So, yes, sorry if I'm hurting the listeners by saying that, but really... Sorry, it doesn't interest me. But what I really liked, and I think it's mainly because of its Nam Joo Hyuk and Kim Tae Ri, the innocence. You could feel the innocence of their relationship, how it's developing and how they are going to get together. So even the breakup for me was expected and it didn't crush my heart or I wasn't in pain or anything. But I liked what they showed. But for me, it was primarily coming of age, Hido's story, Hido's struggle, how she gets to be a fencer. Her and Yurim's friendship, I think the women friendship stole the show, were the highlight for me in this drama. I craved them. I wasn't at all disappointed with the ending. It was just as expected. Poonam, you go first and then we can start discussing the ending.
So for me, I don't like to read about dramas too much before watching. But my God, I was really hooked. You know, Kim Tae Ri, how she was, how she nailed every mannerism. It's like her joy would directly translate to me. I had Kim Tae Ri withdrawal. I don't know what episode was it. I mean, and I told you the number yesterday.
14.
Episode 14.
Which is all about Koyurim.
No, before that, the beach episode.
The beach was 10.
Episode 10. So episode 10 is where Becky Jean on episode 9 end has said that I don't need rainbows, I love you, okay? And after that point, there is no Kahido there because Sungman is trying to blackmail Becky Jean into going to beach and all of those things are happening. And probably that is the first episode that we see more of other characters. Goyurim and Kim Tae Ri are the two characters. You have seen enough backstory in the first few episodes. Yeah, episode 10 is the first time you are seeing Sungman coming up more. That is the first time when they started building up those stories. Because after the beach, then this was come like a main cast. But it wasn't until that episode. So, she didn't come up to the screen until when they decide to go to the beach together. In fact, I remember the precise scene when Kahido appears again. Sungman goes to that hideout they have in the school and tells them, hey, we got the permission to go to beach. It's like, where is Kim Tae Ri? I want to see her. Bring her first. I want to know about all these people. But only after I've seen Kim Tae Ri. That's how much I had a Kim Tae Ri withdrawal in that episode. Afterwards, it's okay because then their stories also became main stories. I watched with a clean slate is what I'm trying to say. I didn't expect anything. I didn't expect Raman should be there or should not be there. Neither. As Becky Jean kept coming in, I kept accepting it. But I found it all relatable because romance in that period, especially from an Asian country of that age, is actually very innocent. I mean, she found him in a very difficult moment. The Tapkam Foundation that we are talking about, I think that was the first time they came more closer, right? That was the first intimate moment in a manner of speaking. I found that part, their friendship, a good relationship is actually a first good friendship. I find that relationship, how it grows, very relatable. Totally understand that it doesn't make me swoon because it's not about that at all at that age. And moreover, how she treats Becky Jean, she treats him like somebody her age. She never treats him as somebody older, even though when Becky Jean first tells her what's his age, oh, that's right reaction. At that age, anybody older than you feels like, oh God, how older they are. You don't even bother about that. At 22 is still a very young age. Everybody is older. But she never treats him with respect or she doesn't call him Oppa. She always calls him Becky Jean in that particular tone. But did I feel bad that they didn't end up together? Frankly speaking, hope against hope, I thought. But even if a certain relationship didn't work out and it was a great relationship. And anyway, even if our relationships have broken, but during that relationship, we give each other a lot. That cannot be taken away. She did help him find himself and chart out his life in the world. He could not have done it if he hadn't met that kind of support at that point of time because he was alone. Similarly, he did a lot for her. For example, if not for him, she might have missed playing that competition where she won gold. So there are some irreversible things that you give to each other that cannot be taken back. And frankly speaking, that scene where they break up, I have lived that. And breakup pain is something I don't even want to wish it on my worst enemy. I don't know who my enemies are. But it was so painful. It was so hard that I don't want to wish that on anybody. So that scene on the bus stop where they are just telling, she doesn't take care of mental health, see somebody, maybe she ties her shoe. And once he's tying her shoelaces, he completely breaks down. And so does she, even though she had wanted to come across a bit nonchalant. And they're just heartbreakingly cry. I have actually lived that scene. That scene in the tunnel made sense to me. You know why? Because when she sees the diary and she sees Becky Jean's words to her words of regret that I should not have said those things to you. And she always felt regret that he doesn't know that I regret saying those things to him. But he had replied back that I too didn't want to say those things. And she is taken back to that tunnel and she realizes all this time, he already knew that she didn't mean that way. And that was her closure. It may work for some people, it may not. Frankly speaking, that silly diary finding their way back after so many years is so unbelievable and unrelatable.
That is too K-drama.
It's very K-drama destiny trope. So I let it pass because I feel 2521 is such an exceptionally well-written drama. I can let that trope pass. It's okay. It's one of the things.
But she made that connection to just revisit the last bus stand scene. The previous scene also happened at tunnel where they said the harsh words to you. Frankly speaking, you don't cherish your memories just yet. First few years, in fact, I used to be angry that the breakup had taken away the most joyous memories of my life. Memories at 18 to 20 are your special memories. They were like colored and I resented for that reason my good memories. But you know what? Once the pain subsides, then you start going back to those memories. And I think that final tunnel scene was meant to do that because she tells him, this time I will let you be the first to go. When she is saying, you knew it always, my regret about I had said these unpleasant things to you. You already knew that. Now I'm at peace and I will let you go now. I thought that sentence, this time I will let you go first, to be very meaningful.
Sangeeta, you had contradictory views, didn't you, on the tunnel scene. When I was tweeting about 2521's ending, they shared a similar view that she's like, I don't regret my exes anymore. I'm done. I've done. I've gotten over it. And I've moved on. I know you also said something similar. That at 40, why you should have those regrets.
Yeah. So not even about why you should have regrets. I'm not saying that one should not have regrets. And that is perfectly understandable. Some people move on. Some people don't. That is fine. For me, as a drama flow, it wasn't really making sense. Like I said, I was looking at it as a Nahido story. So it was looking like her story, her coming of age and what she did with her life. And actually, the way it starts and even in between, wherever the adult Nahido's teens are there, you could see that she is in this happily blissful life with her own mom, her daughter and everything. You don't have any doubts about that. But when you come to the closure of a drama, you just want to see it ending with what she feels about it at that stage of life. Because you have told me what her story is. So I want to hear what she is feeling at this point of time. I don't want to know just about her, this relationship that she's talking about. That is not what I looked at it as for. And that is not what you told me all this while. You are telling me about her friendships, her achievements in sports, her relationship with mom, daughter, everything. So at this point of time, I want to know how she is feeling in life. Like, is she content? Is she happy? Is she looking forward to more? That closure is not what I got. I really don't care that she didn't end up with Becky Jean. I think that was pretty evident from very early episodes. And they were keeping it a little ambiguous and trying to get people guessing. But by about episode 8 or 9, it was clear that most likely they won't be together. So that was okay. That was nothing I really cared about. But for me, this part was what the annoying part was, that I did not get to hear from her that she's happy and content with her life. Because ultimately, when you're talking about coming of age stories, it is about you realizing what you want in life or what you are. It is about discovering yourself, making peace with what life has given you so far or how you've lived your life so far. And all. That is how I would look at it. Even if the IMF crisis background, if you see, they've played it very well. Because some characters had to really go through some hardships, like say Urim's parents or some characters where even Becky Jean for that matter. So they didn't want to make it too hard for the viewer, thinking that why is a character going through so much? So they've simply planted this idea of IMF crisis. So there is a background. You know that these guys are going through hardships because of this. So they didn't want you to go through so much emotional upheaval. But as a viewer, at the end of it, I'm not feeling contented. Why? that was my contention at the end of it. Because at the end of it, I needed that closure, that happiness in Hido's life, which is not what I got to see.
Two things. I think this started with, like you said, with this expectation of in today's life, Hidu is very happy and whatever. She is content and she is in there. So they never misled in thinking they will tell us to Hidu's today's life ever.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. That is what I'm saying, right? Even in the middle episodes, wherever she comes, you can see that she's blissful. No doubt about that. But I'm saying in the finale,
it is about Hidu's closure. Hidu hadn't had the closure because of the regret she had about the words.
Agreed, Poonam. So I don't deny that, you know, she needed that closure for herself about Becky Jean. That is also fine. What I'm saying is, once she's done with that, all they could have shown is just one line saying that she's happy with whatever she had. She has now, right? So I've moved on and happy.
She's happy. She ends with her.
Yeah, it ends with her. But she doesn't say that I'm content with my life.
She says that.
Not really. She says I'm moving on.
Why should she need to say that?
That is what I mean, right? As a viewer, for me, I would expect that.
No, she said that she is moving on.
She is moving on, yes. That's one relationship which she's moved on from. But are you content with life? I want to know that.
And the story was about that relationship only, no? So it makes sense to end that relationship.
Not really. It is not about just that relationship. It's about her friendships. They don't show those friendships in the adulthood. It's about her sports, which is what they have focused on. And they did justice to that. Yes, I don't deny that. But in the final episode, when you've built this whole story about friendships, sports, love, everything, in the final episode, you're focusing only one aspect of that, which is disappointing to some of the viewers.
No, I disagree with that slightly, because 2521, the song that has inspired the whole drama, it is about celebrating an old. So it is about revisiting that old memory. So in that memory, at that time, the friends existed. And because that friends existed, because her fencing existed, at that time, whatever happened, that's exactly what they showed. That's what they meant to. That was their promise and they covered all of that. Only thing that they are showing in today's life is the revisitation of that memory. They actually don't cover anything about other aspects. Their friends are not there, probably. They didn't last, probably they didn't. But the point is not that whether they lasted or they continued, that friendships continued or not. That's why she ends it with that. I will always have that summer.
Which she doesn't remember. Again, my grudge is she doesn't remember.
I have a different theory about that one. A lot of the times you do lie to your children and you probably try to downplay your memory. You probably don't want to say that because there are certain unresolved things or certain conversations you don't want to do. So I took it as a face value with a pinch of salt that it is not what it means.
No, it was on my second rewatch I realized that maybe that some memories are for us. They're personal. I don't want to even discuss with the kids, with my cousins, with my friends, with my husband. I don't. This is my memory and this is how I'm going to keep it. So I think somewhere, because she had not resolved her feelings of regret with Yujin, she didn't want to speak about that summer with her young daughter. And she knew her daughter was reading her diary. So I just felt that she wanted to hold back and that's why she underplayed it. First time when I watched it, I was like, why is she saying like that? There is something wrong. Her not connecting the most important summer.
It's our first school trip. How can she forget? You remember.
Exactly.
But the thing is, exactly like the line you said, that is also inconsistent. Because she says in a later episode that I know that my daughter is reading my diary.
Yeah.
And I want her to know that I've had this kind of friendships and this kind of love. So, which is very inconsistent. And as a viewer, not everybody thinks so much about that and not everybody looks so deeply and try to understand every character.
No, but I understand because sometimes it is implicit, sometimes it's explicit.
Exactly.
Some viewers will want it to be said it out, to be explicit. Some viewers will take the implied meaning out of it.
That is what I mean. It's understandable. It is not right or wrong, but it's understandable. When somebody feels disappointed with the ending, it is understandable.
And that's okay. I am only explaining that it didn't come to me. Because whatever is coming, I am willing to believe it. Unless something in my experience says that, it's impossible. But generally, these kind of things, I am okay to go with the character's intentions. And frankly speaking, until you pointed out these things, I didn't even consciously think, okay, she didn't want to share it. Yeah, I didn't. But when people pointed it out, that's when I realized, no, I took it that way. I was, when it comes about human emotions, I don't look for consistency and inconsistency at all. I am not a consistent person myself. So how do I expect drama characters to be consistent? Yeah,
that's the whole thing. Nah, when dramas, you don't really want realism all the time. So you just want some things to be being very happy and hunky-dory.
The sentence that you said is the end of the thing. People don't want realism, babe. That's why people find it so hard. Yes, their relationship was superb for that kind of age, without saying anything to each other, without demanding anything for each other, to offer that kind of understanding. When he goes without telling her, she wholeheartedly understands that it's rare.
Yes.
And they actually did some fantastic things for each other. And that's why people wonder, could they not have worked it out? But that's realism.
See, that is not a question I have. That's absolutely not a question I have. It need not have to.
No, I know you don't have. But everybody watches from their experience and they expect their version of realism. So that's why they are like, why could you not work it out? And at least in drama, you should show me hope and things work out. That's what they say. But I do think at the end of the day, it's a writer's call to interpret
absolutely.
The characters as they see. Tell the story they want.
True.
And we are okay not to like it or like it. That's absolutely
Agree.
Okay, y'all can call me a sadist or I'm being a bit more critical again, whatever. But so there is this whole narrative of people saying K-dramas romanticize first love. They overhype first love. And now there is a drama which actually showed you that first love didn't work out. And you're having a meltdown over it. I'm like, guys, let's come back.
I understand the people who are having a meltdown.
No, I understand.
Let me just be fully honest that I thought that somehow this will not turn out that way. But you know, episode 14, Benny wishes her it may be too late, but congratulations on your wedding.
I have a grudge with that scene also. They show so much tension between the two characters. They've split up. She's gone and married. Show them like two professionals talking to each other. No, why the stupid voiceover?
It's possible, na? Sangeeta herself has taught me that people aren't meant to be monogamous.
No, absolutely. I totally vouch by that.
So it's possible that they feel some tension for each other, and because there's no reason to hate each other, no reason to resent each other after all this while, it's absolutely possible that they have a thing with each other. I'm okay to accept that. Even if she was happily married, she can have a thing for someone.
Absolutely. So that is what I'm saying. So there you show this tension, and then towards the end you say that I've suddenly discovered this and I'm moving on. It doesn't make sense to me.
She had moved on already because she is happy in her life. She seems comfortable in her skin. She seems comfortable with her mother and daughter.
That doesn't come across in that scene.
I agree it doesn't, but it doesn't need to be.
I agree. That's what I mean. It doesn't come across. It's all right.
Because they established in the first few episodes that she had a great relationship with her mom now.
Right.
She is very happy with her daughter. She's very happy in her skin and how world views her, how she is independent. Little details, they have covered that very well. She has already obviously let go of her relationship. The only thing, she probably locked her first relationship in some corner of her heart. Now her daughter was discovering it. And some events happened that she recalled it also. There is only one thing that she regretted, and that's what she was letting go. She was not letting go of her memories also, because she ends it with saying that I will always have that. I will always have those friends and I will always have the packaging. So I don't think she is pushing out Becky Jean completely out of her heart.
And when they met, I think 2009, he was away for 7 years. And look at that time, okay? That time period where you didn't have access to video calls or WhatsApp or seeing each other on Facebook or Orkut, you know, knowing what's happening. Suddenly, after 8 years, you've broken up and you see each other the first time. That tension was a little palpable.
And moreover, she must have gone through a lot of emotion after playing the match and how it is, you know, you
Correct.
Go in there. It's like you are probably unprepared for the interview, even if you're prepared for the game.
But I just have to say this. I understand people not liking the writing, people not liking the ending. But I didn't understand this emotion where people were like, oh, the writer did not set the story context up front. It came as a rude shock to us. No, it didn't.
Don't agree. It is like, it was pretty evident.
It wasn't a rude shock or anything. She was leading you towards it. She was leading you towards that possibility.
Right.
Like I said, I have a problem. I can understand all sides of things. So I do understand why. See, there have been times where I have been upset in certain dramas like Scarlett or Rio. After watching 10 hours, I was like, how could they not like end it together, you know? At least in fiction, I should have hope. I have actually said this line so many times. So I understand what they feel about that not ending together. Even I, until 14 episode, I hoped against hope probably it will work out. You know what? If I was Nahidu, I would actually not have a relationship with Becky Jean. Why? I have lived all my life being lonely with a mom who did that kind of thing. Why do I want to spend my adult life with the same
Correct.
Thing? I cannot tell him not to do his job.
Her mom asks her the exact question, right?
I thought it was so thoughtful of her mom in that moment that she said that you resent me. And she wasn't complaining. She was trying to say that you felt this with
me. Yeah, she was just making her think.
Yeah, yeah. So I think she made right choice. That kind of trauma nobody needs to put up with. And she herself is a competitive player. It's not an easy thing. So at least in adult life, you should be able to control what I want for my love or what I want for my relationship or what I want my life to look like. So even if it was a cautious clinical decision, I understand that because people do make that at the cost of your heart profit.
Yeah, that's another great thing about the drama that nobody had to compromise on their career or give up their career or change their career because of their love lives. It's different that Becky Jin chose media because he was in a tough time, but that was not because of his relationships. I think which is very common for a lot of dramas to show it's all over romanticized and say that, oh, because of my love, I've quit, left and came. So that is one thing truthful in this drama.
And in real life, if people make those kind of sacrifices, they end up resenting each other. I did it for you.
Exactly. I think probably that is why she has that fondness for Becky Jin also, even at much later date in life, because she doesn't have to resent him.
One that got away. The thing is, if your relationship ended because of some practical circumstances or because of some genuine reasons, but you didn't fall out of love as such. Like, there are relationships where you do fall out of love with time because you change. But you didn't fall out of love, but you had to for practical purposes. What? Why would I hate, yeah? No. It's a precious part of you, yeah. Why would you cut it out just because from a society's point of view, we are not together. So, that's not how my heart will work also now.
I agree. Very true. I think you tend to cherish your first crushes, your first love. And you don't have to always discuss about it openly and proclaim. But in a corner of your heart, you know that moment, that period in your life was special.
That's also part of your life. That's also you.
Exactly. And it has helped you grow. It has helped you analyze yourself also better.
This is true.
It has helped me grow. I have given so much to that person and that person has given. So it's irreversible because what's given is given.
And see, like we always said that over our years, over our experience, how many grudges will you hold in your life?
Exactly.
You forget the wrong things or the negative aspects that happened with you. And you tend to remember always the positive things that they brought to your life, which I think this drama brought out very beautifully. So I love that.
I have a question. Did you think that Becky Jin initially did not want to break up? He actually did not, is what I thought.
Even I felt so. I think the guy was just in a very emotionally bad place. I felt that for him, Hido was his biggest support, but she was moving on so fast that he couldn't keep pace with it. That was my reading. He didn't have the emotional capacity to be with it. Forget the physical aspect.
Like a typical man. At that moment, I felt like he's being a typical man. Because she even asked that all this while when we were growing apart, what the hell were you doing? She was trying to understand, accommodate. And then he says, you can't understand this much also.
You know what? A desperate man would also do that. That scene happens when she calls him to cancel that couple's plan. So he's like, Nahidu, have you thought about this? Do we have to do this? And he talks from there. And then he becomes so desperate that, understand me and don't break up, what he was trying to tell. But eventually he realized it's not workable. And there is a dialogue which he had told that cutie pie. And what is the name of that actor, Sangeeta, you like him?
Chaitejun.
He tells him that Nahidu only deserves the best of experiences and she doesn't deserve half as experiences. So probably I felt like because his hands were tied, he sort of agreed to it even though initially he really didn't want it. And Nahidu was pretty clear that this is not going to work for her.
What is it that could have made the drama better? The one thing if you could change?
Sangeeta has already spoken her. She would have liked to see her.
Yes,
like,
that's
one
all.
One more reminder that she was happy in her adult life.
Yeah. My only regret, and this is something I'm carrying with Nam Joo Hyuk's recent dramas, because Weightlifting Fairy for me remains his pinnacle, okay? Even there, he was the supporting factor to Bokju's story, right? He was not the main person. Even here, he's a supporting factor. Why are others coming and overshadowing Nam Joo Hyuk? I think he falls short somewhere in the acting capability.
Meenali, you put Nam Joo Hyuk this much higher over here, okay? Now you can't accept that he actually has a role where he's again a side character. Why is he being overshadowed?
No, not Kim Tae-ri. Kim Tae-ri is phenomenal. Forget Kim Tae-ri, okay? But even within their other characters, I enjoyed Ji-young's and Seung-wan's acting more in certain sections than Nam Joo Hyuk. And I really want him to do well. And I think he falls short in some emotional scenes. That's my reading of his acting.
Especially in the last few episodes, I agree.
He falls short. He's really falling short.
Yeah.
You both also did not relate to his character. And actually, at some respect, even I do. First of all, that character is not Namjoon Hyuk, who looks so young, who has a face of like a boy. And then he's acting like he's in a like 45-year-old body. And like he has entire world's weight on his shoulders.
And he's trying to date an actress who's 33-year-old.
But in first few episodes, you know what? I live for those glimpses. Namjoon Hyuk looked like the Namjoon Hyuk from Kim Bok Joon. And every time that happened, I actually went to take screenshots to keep it and remind me. That happens a little bit at the beach and when he talks about that I don't need a rainbow. So I understand why Namjoon Hyuk felt that way, but I also feel that that was because of our expectations out of it.
Possible, that's what I'm saying. So I'm going to temper it because I would really like him back full swing where I see him and enjoy his character, his liveliness on screen.
Don't disappoint Meena Namjoon Hyun. She has vouched for you all throughout. Despite Startup.
People were hating on him in Startup and I'm like, don't hate on him. He is such a good actor. Like I've told people, please go watch Weightlifting Fairy. Then you all talk. Come back and talk to us.
No, he was awesome in Weightlifting Fairy, sir.
Seriously.
Even in this, the glimpses of his innocent romance was very good. All that part he did very good. But beyond a point, it felt like almost he also lost conviction in the character.
Correct, correct.
It was just not reaching us, at least me.
In the initial stages, when he's in awe of Nahi Do, of everything she does, or he takes inspiration, it came out so well. And I'm like, okay, he's coming back to that Bok Joon era. But yeah, it just fell apart in the last 3-4 episodes. So fingers crossed, he can do well. So that was my regret, only regret about the drama. Poonam, did you have anything else?
I don't know, but like I said, later I made my peace with that drama. And I actually read up that actually writer had one actor just for a few scenes.
Was it Gong Yoo? Those were Reddit theories.
There was a screenshot of Min Jae and another man, but the man's only back was visible in that screenshot. Ah, okay. But I totally understand. So nobody, audience doesn't know this guy. And what would it even mean to for us to even see that guy? Unless they're going to cover their story or what made her choose him. But it was not about this. I think I read that she then cut out that particular scene as well. So, frankly speaking, I had thought that episode 16 might be big reveal. And I half expected that she will end up with Cutie Pie because he's going to be there. Please don't do this to me. So, since I went with this kind of worry, so it wasn't like so much of a big disappointment. I do understand why people are not happy with the ending or why they are not happy with people ending up together. It's just that I won't put a hate on the writer is all I'm saying. We are okay to feel whatever we want. We are okay not to agree, disagree. That's what we are human beings supposed to do.
Agree.
But don't hate on a writer because he chose to tell a certain kind of story.
Agree.
And not just that, it's a drama where you're only disappointed with the ending, probably. Whoever is disappointed, like including me.
Agreed.
So you've enjoyed all these episodes, which means that it was brilliant writing. So you cannot say
Correct.
That all that is not valid just because you did not agree with, what, 1/16th part of it? I don't find that justified.
I mean, seriously, for this deep dive, I was just revisiting the scenes from the earlier episodes and I still didn't want to skip. I wanted to watch the whole episode and that is the beauty of writing, right?
Right, yeah.
You feel like re-watching those episodes, so...
Yeah, exactly.
Only 2 episodes I will probably have trouble re-watching would be that episode 14 where they Ko-Yurim going to Russia. First, we are seeing from Ko-Yurim's point of view, then Becky Jean's point of view. Okay, yeah, we got the point. We got it. She needs to do that. You established it. Can you please get back to Kim Tae-ri or somebody else for that matter?
Agree. And even like episode 15 and 16, I felt it dragged a bit in length. Could have been shorter.
I think managing audience expectations.
They were trying to mellow it down and give that slow blow. They didn't want to like shock the audience.
So that's why when Sangeeta said that the breakup was so long,
yeah,
I agreed.
It was long.
Because of that tunnel scene coming up again, that bus stop scene, it went long.
Yeah.
But I wish that was done a bit less.
That was so Bollywoodish. He going to her place, she coming to his place.
But I liked it that it seems from Kim Tae-ri's interview during the preparation that was always known that it is Kim Tae-ri's drama, she has to work harder, she has a lot more to do than Becky Jin. They were actually talking that as actors between themselves, and I really love it. You know, this coming of age women stories, I have tried to find parallels just to be able to talk about on the podcast. I found many coming of age stories in Western, nothing in Asian context, not many in Hindi, one or two, and they are mostly love stories.
Also, nothing as punky as this, Poonam. I mean, generally you would see, it would be all about romance, love, probably defying your parents or expectations or whatsoever, but nothing like this.
Yeah, the closest that I went, kept going back to was weightlifting Ferry Kim Bok-choo.
Yeah.
Because of the sporting.
There yeah. is.
And obviously True. Parallels True. Between, you know, Nam Ji-hyuk being a common factor between them. But I think there were a lot of parallels. Of course, Tyree's character was something else. Nahido was super spunky. Now we're going to wrap up and we've gone a lot about the drama. And I think we've just scratched the surface is what I think. But what is your main takeaway? And if you had to pick one image or scene from the drama that stays with you, which would that be?
I think for me, it was about perseverance. Right from the first episode where Hido talks about not taking the result to heart. She tells her daughter that don't care about whether you are winning or losing. It's all right to lose. So I think that was what the drama throughout, it sort of spoke about that in relationships, sports, your friendships, everything. It talks about how you have to put your heart in it and do it, give it your full. So that is the key takeaway that I had from it.
And the scene?
And scene, I think for me, the most remarkable scene which I've connected with coming of age theme was Ji Sung-won standing up for her friend. It spoke a lot because very subtly, because that is how you are at that age, very idealistic, and you think that everything will go as per the book.
True.
If an adult tells you that this is how the world is, you believe in that. So at that age, that is how you are. So she thinks that the teacher will get punished because he did something wrong. But that realization that she has, that it's not in her hands, and it's so easy to get past all this. Adult world is so much more complicated. You can see her turmoil. You can see how she breaks down in front of her mom and she says that, no, I cannot get past that. She says that when her mom tells her that you have to grow up and you have to take these things in your stride, she says, is that probably I will, but right now I can't. So I felt that was very, very representative of that age and coming of age theme.
I was thinking as Anita was talking, my favorite scenes were Namito's childhood scenes. For me, when I think of 25-21, I remember the period in the first, second episodes where we do see, you know, the carefree life of a teenager, which Nahidu sometimes lives when she's not worrying about getting into a fencing school. Then she's running after funas, comics, that kind of, you know. Yeah, that's like most important thing.
Even going into that shady club, she's so bold, she's so reckless. She thinks that it's okay. I mean, it's okay to get arrested. It's okay to get expelled.
Yeah.
By the way, the club also is one of my favorite scenes. When Nam Ji-hyuk, he's totally unhappy, depressed. His friends have probably also made him unhappy. But he sees her. And even though he has no energy, it just shows, like, he's too tired to deal with this. But even then, he feels like he must, and he pulls her by hand and takes her out because he realizes that that's the right thing to do. He basically manages to convey a lot about his character in that scene. And I really do cherish it. And there's a conversation where he asks, who do you like most in Funam? She's a writer. He says, so everybody likes Hitman. Because he has just, you know where he is coming from. He said, no, I don't like him because of that. I like him because he's handsome. And now I go and enjoy him. I was like, you are speaking for me, Nahido. I'm not above not enjoying men because they look good. I will also go and watch something with handsome men. So that innocence, you know, if I think back of 25-21, I think of those scenes leading up to that Tap Tap Fountain scene where they have their first intimate conversation. For me, that's what it summarizes for, and the beach scenes where they all played at the beach. So those two scenes.
And what was your main takeaway?
Make most of now. Focus on the journey. Focus on making memories. Of course, you don't go by your life thinking we'll make great memories. But if you're living a good life, it will automatically become a great memory. And that's what counts. Especially somebody like me, who understand that memories were much more important than what the outcome was. So cherish now. Don't waste it into, you know, thinking of other things, thinking of how I will end up, plan, but only enough, but live well. Second is what I said already earlier, talent is not what takes you there. They didn't show that Nahidu was the most talented person out there. They didn't. They never ever said that, actually. They didn't portray her as a genius fencer either. It was a sheer grit. How she hung on, and not just in convention, we talked about it, not just in training, we have also talked about that. But even then, her coach, on an important match day, you know, so much is made up of the mental state of the athletes on the day of their match and how much is done about it. Even on that day, she's not getting support from her own coach, okay? And yet she wins it, which means it proves, if you believe it, you can do it. And I think somebody like me, even at this age, I can take inspiration or two from Nahidu's character.
One line which she says, I don't believe in, I'm not sure about myself, but coach and Becky Jean believe in me, so I believe in myself. I think that also speaks a lot about how much people's support can influence. Sometimes the positive vibes itself is great support.
I mean, I agree to it. I mean, you said it very well, so I will not repeat it. That was a big message for me as well. I feel as we are so caught up in thinking about the future, we don't cherish our present. Only after we've gone into our present, we start cherishing our past. Let's not do that. Live the moment. I'm halfway through my life, so I need to realize that I have to enjoy every day as it comes. And I think that was a big takeaway for me.
You can come of age like English mean.
Yes. Rediscover myself.
Yeah, people consider that coming of age. Why not?
Why not? So big takeaway, and how positive and optimistic she was.
So positive.
We forget, we get so cynical. We get so cynical in life. So that was a big takeaway for me. The scene that stayed with me is Sing-wan has quit the school. Ye-jin has quit fencing. They come out and she throws a fencing outfit into the tree. Sing-wan shows a school jacket and they're just staring and it freezes at that scene. So to me, it was like four girls who thought what was right for them did it. They don't know what the future holds for them. But just the fact that they're together and the future is going to be unknown, but hopefully they will still see each other through, was great messaging. Because for me, that episode 12 just sealed it. I rooted for the female friendship so much.
Yeah, standing up for one another.
Was amazing to watch.
Do you remember the time when Ko Yurim was going to Russia and
yes.
She had told Jung that let's break up or whatever. And both girls stuck to each other during that difficult time for Ko Yurim. I love that fact that both the guys were sort of discarded. We are going to take care of each other. They even show Ko Yurim's need to go see a friendly face. And who does see she go to? Nahidu.
True. So our recommendation to the listeners as we close this first deep dive that we've done is, what are your expressions? For me, it's Sarange for 25-21. I would wholeheartedly recommend to watch this drama.
Yeah, same here.
Me too.
Sarange, totally.
Me too.
We wrap up our first deep dive. We hope you enjoyed it. Come back to us with all your feedback and what other dramas you would like us to cover. All our contact details are in the episode notes. And until our next episode, adios!